This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour number three as we roll along the Halloween edition. I don't know if we're any scarier today than we are during the regular times on the calendar. Nevertheless, it's Halloween. But you know what was scary? Philip on Twitter sent me his TikTok of eating that chip, Ron. Philip, God bless you, man. God bless you. I'm retweeting that at Tony D Radio. Oh, man. You're a braver man than I. Eating that chip and not taking anything with it. No milk, no water, no nothing.
I don't think milk helps.
I'm with you.
I'm being honest with you. I mean, because I've done hot stuff and milk, maybe it's just me. It just doesn't interact, like, doesn't cool everything down or coat everything.
I got to look at the chip and it's like, it's black practically. But he showed that it's blue.
Well, the powder or dust on it, whatever.
Oh, goodness gracious. You guys. God bless you.
And like I said, you saw he took the whole chip. I only did half.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful I only did half. I don't know if it made a difference.
Any description of it feels like jet fuel, I'm going to try to avoid in the future.
And you saw, instant sweat. It's like, and it's the sweat underneath the eyes, which is weird. It's just like, for me, it was instantly sweating underneath my eyeballs.
I'd be in pure panic, man. I'd feel like my heart would be like, we are not going to survive this.
No.
We are not. So, well, thank you guys for doing that. I mean, it's been good fodder for the program this morning on Halloween. I do want to get into this, and I mean this with all respect to anybody that has been following this team for generations. I feel your pain. I really feel your pain. And I don't think you expected a lot from this season, and this season is continuing to build. But, man, Dan Campbell, I'm starting to lose a lot of faith in you, my man. That was another loss for the Detroit Lions. They fell to Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins. Now, did I think the Lions were going to win this game? No, I didn't. But the Lions are always putting themselves in these positions where they can score a lot of points. Now, there was a period of time and just a brief period of time that they didn't score as many points. They were averaging 32 a game, and then there was a period of time where they only scored 6 over 2 games. But it 1-6, I want to feel like you're moving forward. But it was really another tough loss for the Detroit Lions. But I think Dan Campbell is still building up some really solid goodwill. But eventually the wins are going to have to start coming. You're going to have to start winning a game or two like this that's winnable. And you got to be able to finish it out. They were shut out. They put up 27 points the first two quarters and then were shut out the rest of the way. More on the NFL next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
A little Oingo Boingo for you for your Halloween.
You gotta have a little Oingo Boingo.
Of course, why not? One hit wonder, or did they have other hits?
No, they had one other hit.
They did?
Yeah, Weird Science.
Oh, Weird Science, of course.
I mean, they may have had more, but those are the two that I know.
That's right, exactly. Back to the NFL as we continue along on a Monday on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. I do want to mention this because I was telling you about this before the show. On Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. If you've ever experienced this, because I just want to get a little supernaturally into the Halloween show, because I'm not going to do it tomorrow. But over the weekend, I had a really bizarre dream, and I never want to bore people with dreams, so I'm not going to give you the details, but I will give you the circumstance. I've had dreams my whole life. I think many of you have had dreams your whole life where you sort of wake up and you go, oh, that was a dream. What a dream. And sometimes, you try to re-dream it. It was like Norm MacDonald has a joke about, like, you wake up from a great dream. You're in a pool with Christie Brinkley.
Yep.
And you tried to re-dream it and you end up shooting pool with David Brinkley. It's not quite the same. It's a great joke. But sometimes you wake up and you're like, oh, my God, that was a great dream. Maybe you won the lottery or maybe you met an old friend or whatever. I had a dream on Sunday night into Sunday morning where I literally felt like it was as real as anything I'm doing right now. I felt like I was in it. I was put there. And when I woke up, I had a split second. It wasn't long, but it was a split second feeling. I did not know where I was. I did not know why I was where I was. I did not know what happened to me. I felt like I should have been there, and somehow I ended up where I was. And it was just, it was a split second, but it was enough for my brain to go, what are we doing here? What's this? What's this bed? Why are we doing? And then of course reality sets in and you realize you woke up, but it was as real as if I'm sitting here right now. I've never felt anything like that before, but it involved a childhood friend who I saw as an adult. And I sort of went around with him and whatnot, but it was really spooky. It was so spooky, and I'm not supernatural by any means. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in stuff like that, but I was talking to my wife about it even last night. Like normally that kind of stuff just kind of wears off. But even last night, I'm like, I wonder if that'll happen again. It was so bizarre. So don't mean to freak anybody out, but some of my friends on Facebook have said they've had similar experiences. So I just wanted to throw that out there. It was really bizarre. Really, really bizarre. Because normally, like, you're in a dream and something weird happens, but you kind of,
Well, you always hope that you can get, like you said, it's like, I've had dreams where, I want to wake up. But I've also had dreams where I've had dreams in a dream.
Yeah, I've done, yeah.
Where, I woke up from a dream, but then I was like, oh, I'm still dreaming.
But, like, I tasted stuff. I felt emotions. I felt the temperature of the air. I felt, like, it was so bizarre to be there. Like everything was in color. And normally people say they dream in black and white. I felt like I was in this world with this child. And I haven't seen this childhood friend in 30 years. I just know what he's doing on Facebook and he's kind of has his career and whatnot. But for some reason, him and I were in this dream talking, remembering things about our childhood growing up together. And it was as real as it is now. So it's a very bizarre, bizarre situation. Now, do I wish I was dreaming watching the Eagles-Steelers game? Yes, I absolutely wish I was dreaming because I did not think the Steelers would upset. I said that on the show Friday, right? There's a lot of people like, I think the Steelers can upset the Eagles. The Steelers have not won in Philadelphia. Don't get me wrong. They don't play a lot, right? Once every 8 years, really, they play in Philadelphia. The Steelers have not won in Philadelphia since 1965, all right? So I wasn't expecting Kenny Pickett and the Steelers to go to Philadelphia and win. But the Eagles made quick work of a not so good Steeler team. And A.J. Brown was magnificent.
I was about to say, I like what you said before the, like, what you were talking before the show. And you were like, the Eagles, well, no. A.J. Brown.
Beat the Steelers last night. Had three touchdowns. I brought this up last week, and it leads into what I was saying about this Eagles team. When you hire a general manager, and general managers get fired and hired all the time, but if you're a team looking for one, it's a characteristic you won't know you have it until you have it. Because if you're firing your general manager and you're looking for a new one, there's a very good chance you won't know if this general manager has what it takes. But there is a window of opportunity that teams have, and you've got to capitalize on that window. You can say what we want about the Los Angeles Rams right now. They're not playing very good. They may have mortgaged their future for the Super Bowl. But the reality of it is, when the goal is to win the Super Bowl, if you've won the Super Bowl, sometimes however you got there is worth it. Yep, the Rams may not pick in the draft, in the early draft, for a good portion of the next couple of years. Fine. The Eagles saw an opportunity on draft day to give Jalen Hurts yet another reason to be good in this league by getting A.J. Brown. They knew the Titans didn't want to pay A.J. Brown. They knew it. The Titans did not want to put the kind of money that current wide receivers are getting in this league into A.J. But the Eagles were willing to do it. I talked about this last week with Roquan Smith. Roquan Smith. The player that the Bears shipped off. Robert Quinn. I'm sorry. Why was it? Roquan Smith was the one that cried.
Yeah, he was the one that cried.
I got him confused. Robert Quinn. I was saying this last week. Robert Quinn is not the same player he was a year ago with 18 and a half sacks. The reality of it is, though, Howie Roseman is seeing an opportunity to just better the defense in a slight way. Because he looked at his team and went, look, we're really good at this, 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 and this. You know what? Maybe we could get a little better getting to the quarterback. Because we had 17 sacks. 9 of them came over 2 games. Maybe Robert Quinn makes it a little better. And was like, you know what? It's only going to cost me a 4th-round pick. I'll get him to void the final 2 years of his contract so he becomes a free agent. It's not going to cost us a lot of money because the Bears are going to be willing to pick up most of the salary anyway. I'll do it. Why? Because my team is in a window. My team is in a window where I've got everything going defensively. I've got everything going offensively. I've given my quarterback a lot of tools, and I might as well just add this little piece at a cost that's not really that much to my organization, because I'm not done painting the masterpiece. A.J. Brown was not that. A.J. Brown was going to go to Philadelphia, and A.J. Brown was going to cost them a lot of money, and they were willing to do it because they felt like this is the time. This is the time. If we're going to have, if Jalen Hurts is going to be a successful quarterback in this league, it is going to be because we have given him everything you could ask for a quarterback. And now the Eagles are undefeated, and Brown had a monster game against the Steelers. And I know, the Steelers don't have T.J. Watt. Steelers have a rookie quarterback. No matter how much the ego and pride of the Pittsburgh organization is, and Lord knows as a fan, I know it, this is not a good football team. This is a very poor football team.
But like you said at the beginning of the season, and I hope that the Rooneys know this, or anybody else, this is supposed to be this season.
Of course it is.
You know, I mean, I'm sorry, Mike Tomlin. I know you have a streak going of 500 plus, years of being in the winning column. This is not going to be that year.
Now, they do need to figure out a way to make Kenny Pickett play a little better. Right now, 2 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, I think.
All right, but can I say 2 words to you, though?
Yeah.
Peyton Manning.
I know.
Okay.
I got it.
He turned out to be okay.
If you can tell me in a few years that he's on the trajectory of Peyton Manning, God bless you, man.
You'll tell him, hey, go 30 interceptions,
no,
brother.
I don't mind.
40
I
interceptions. I don't care.
But here's the thing. I like the gusto of the kid. Like, he will attack. He'll keep attacking. So those are the things I like. We'll teach smart football down the road. At least he's willing to go out there. He's not intimidated by the situation. I've seen rookie quarterbacks come into this league and just be blown away by its speed. There's nothing you can train for. Nothing in practice, nothing in training camp, nothing even in preseason can prepare you for the level of speed and the level of competitiveness that will come playing the NFL. It really is amazing how, you see this in the NBA especially, like, and college football has got all of these, college basketball has got all these Division I teams, and you play basketball and you can play it at a certain level. You get to the NBA, and not only is everyone the best player, they are the best of the best of the best players. And in the NFL, that's the way it is too. Every team is loaded with all-stars, and when you are a college player and you played against some bad football teams, and a lot of your schedule, if you're on an elite team especially, a lot of your schedule is against bad football teams, you get to the NFL and every week is scary. Every week, no matter who you play, 1-16, a 6-1 team, it doesn't matter. Everybody's got skill and everybody's got talent. They just haven't quite put it together that way. But Kenny Pickett is not afraid to go out there and at least attack. If it leads to an interception, it's okay. He's willing to go out there. They're just not competitive. And some Steeler fans are still clinging to the idea that every season matters. Seasons are valuable based on how you get it. I mean, the Eagles had to go through a little bit of growth. They hired Nick Sirianni, for crying out loud, who many of us didn't know who he was, or if we heard of him, we weren't really sure what qualified him to be an NFL head coach in the first place, right? I mean, that's a kind of, and look at what they've been able to do. They are so complete. It's outstanding. It's outstanding. And A.J. Brown is one of the main reasons behind it. So again, yesterday we're reaching that point of the season now, 8 games in, and this would be the halfway point of a 17-week schedule, of an 18-week schedule. We still got 10 weeks left, as some teams haven't yet to take a bye week. But now, as I said in hour one, look at the NFC and look at the way the East is. Remember when the East was a joke? I mean, the East was, somebody's got to win this stupid thing. That's where we are in the NFC South. The NFC South is the same thing. Somebody's going to win that. If I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I'm looking at myself going, there's no reason. We're not playing with house money, quote unquote. The Buccaneers are seriously flawed. The Carolina Panthers are now a number of games behind us. The New Orleans Saints are coming off a shutout win. They might be threatening, but we are no way should we believe that we're borrowing this spot until somebody gets their act together. Because right now, no one in the division is playing so poorly that we expect them to turn it around and win 7 games. The Buccaneers are got so many other issues to deal with. They might end up winning this division because everyone is still in play. I'm not saying that the Buccaneers are out of it and Atlanta's going to cruise. Atlanta's capable of losing three in a row. The Buccaneers are capable of winning three in a row. But everything is on the table for that division. Now, in the West, I think you and I were just saying this earlier. San Francisco now with Christian McCaffrey, that's a whole other beast you've got to deal with now. If the more they integrate him into that onto that team and into that scheme, the more threatening San Francisco is going to be for the NFL at large. But Seattle is playing so above their head, it's fun to watch. And we were talking about this of two teams that lost their Hall of Fame quarterback. The Seattle Seahawks might be a better story in the circumstances that surrounded them losing that quarterback in the first place. Matt Ryan understood where the writing of the wall was. People were talking about, this is what drives me crazy, because people are like, well, you know, the Falcons were rebuilding, and that's what, rebuilding, you know why they got rid of Matt Ryan? Matt Ryan demanded to get out of there because they were going after Deshaun Watson. You're not rebuilding if you're going after Deshaun Watson. You're feeling like there's just a missing piece, and the current quarterback you have isn't it. So Matt Ryan wanted out of there, and then they went, all right, so we don't have Deshaun Watson, we'll just get Marcus Mariota and see where this thing goes. But the Seahawks had Russell Wilson, and they didn't have to trade Russell Wilson, but they got to a point where they couldn't work with him anymore. He didn't want to work with them, they didn't want to work with him. Pete Carroll has a way of running that offense. He wants to run the ball. He wants to balance. And Russell Wilson doesn't want to. Look at what the Seahawks were able to do with Rashard Penny being out. When he was in, he was great. Now that he's hurt, here comes Kenneth Walker. Right, they want to run the football. And Geno Smith is thriving in that offensive scheme, a scheme that Russell Wilson just didn't want to play. So let Russ cook all you want, but the Seahawks were a team that went, we can't do it. We can't do it. He's remember, when he played last year, he was good. Russell Wilson's not on a declining scale, right? He's not like a guy trying to recapture some magic. He played well. He was just injured, but he played well. Not good enough, but he played well because they couldn't overcome the times that he wasn't on the. And you know what? Geno Smith was the guy that was filling in for him last year, and he didn't look good. But now getting QB1, they beat a good Giants team. A Giants team that everybody had the other shoe and was dangling on the over the floor going, I'm going to drop this any minute now. Any minute now. It's loosening up. Feel it. Slip it through my hands. Plop. Everyone was wondering that about the Giants and the Jets too. I guess can't last. They're not that good. They're not that talented. They're not loaded with that many Pro Bowl level players. They can't possibly be 6-1. Well, they are 6-1, but you can understand a little nervousness. I reminisced about the 2000 season with the Steelers. They went 11-0, but you never felt like they were like 11-0, like the Niners were 11-0 back in the early 90s, or the Giants were 11-0 back in the early 90s, or anybody else that went through a season like the Patriots when they were 11-0, right? They weren't that good. And the Giants were winning these games, but they were winning close games. You still weren't 100% sure where the super strength was other than being able to run the ball. Defensively, they'd capitalize on some mistakes, but they were, you know, hovering. I don't know if the Seahawks win this division or not, because I think San Francisco's now rewritten their season with Christian McCaffrey. But I think they're a fun story, and the Atlanta Falcons are a fun story. And it just goes to show you, just because, you know, it all starts at the quarterback. You need one or you can't win. And both of them have guys that were cast-offs, playing on a number of teams, finally landing a home, getting the job almost out of default because nobody else was there. But they're pretty good stories right now in the NFL. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Continue.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Jordan Dehani is going to join us in 10 minutes from CBS Sports. We'll talk NFL with him. Ghostbusters. How could you not have a Halloween show without Ghostbusters?
You can't.
You can't. Still a good movie, man. Still even an eight with the 80s vibe, it's still a good movie, man. So, Sigourney Weaver, Rick Moranis. Still a good movie. They don't show Halloween specials anymore on TV.
No, I know.
Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown is on Apple Plus.
Yeah.
Or Apple TV.
You got to find it.
By the way, did you know that ESPN Plus had the game? The Wembley the game?
Not until that morning.
Yeah, I didn't either.
though.
I went to my guide and was looking for it. I thought it was on NFL Network or maybe even CBS had it. I don't know. And I'm like, where is this game? Why can't I see it?
So, I mean,
like, oh,
we
ESPN
really...
Plus. Luckily, I had ESPN Plus. But are we now at a point where we're just going to have to... You're going to... Another subscription service I have to get to get an NFL game or two?
Man, but I want to point this out, right? For all you guys on Twitter complaining that the Broncos had yet another primetime... Yeah, I know it's not primetime, but, you know...
Right.
This was not one.
No.
Because you have to have it in order to see it.
If you wanted to see it, you had to go through some steps to see it.
Right.
It wasn't like, oh my God, there it is, the only game on.
You could turn to ESPN. ESPN every once in a while was doing a live look-in.
Right. Speaking of primetime, did you know the Packers won 13 straight primetime games until last night?
I know. It's insane.
Buffalo put a stop to that one. Yeah, Buffalo.
Like everything
they're
doing.
That was so good. This is, if I'm a Bills fan, I'm excited, but isn't there that nervous feeling? Like sometimes you are like, man, it's going to hurt if we don't get what we want out of this.
Yeah.
Like there's no promise to a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
No, you know who it is? It's right now. I mean, if I'm Buffalo, this is how I'm feeling. It's the Dodgers.
Yeah. It's scary.
You know,
everything's
the Dodgers
good.
Were...
Your defense is awesome. You're scoring a bunch of points, right? Josh Allen's the MVP.
Yeah, we all agree the Dodgers were the best team this season.
Yep. And then you get to the postseason, and all of a sudden it's like, where in the world did the Miami Dolphins come from to win this game in Buffalo? Holy cow.
But I will say this. It's worse for the Dodgers not to be in the World Series than it would be for Buffalo, because the Dodgers had at least a few games to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know.
And the NFL, we get it, right? We get it.
Yeah,
you know, you can be 13-3 and not make it 14-2, 15-1 and not make the Super Bowl. There's plenty of...
You can be 14-2, losing the AFC Championship game, and your coach gets fired.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. There's so many examples of that where you just go, you know, heavily favored, but can't find a way to win. That happens all the time. So, yeah, you're playing with, it's exciting, it's fun, but when we get to January, the real nervousness is going to step in. By the way, back to the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. That's on Apple. That's not on TV. I did find it not that long ago and sort of rewatched it. It is it always amazes me every year how that was. It's like today you watch that, you watch it and you kind of go, yeah, this is so old. Like this isn't, but it's kind of like it doesn't relate. I don't know if it relates anymore. It's like Charlie Brown's getting rocks in his bag.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's the bully aspect of it is just too crazy. Like they hate that kid. Even the adults hate that kid.
I got a rock.
The adults were like, here's a rock, stupid kid with the holes in your stupid ghost costume.
Bald kid.
Exactly. I still get a kick out of Sally beating the crap out of Linus in that pumpkin patch.
Well, I mean, he deserved it.
He did deserve it. She just nails him to a cross. She beats him to a pulp. Just for taking away her tricks or treats.
Tricks or treats.
Yep. He conned her into that pumpkin patch, sharing what he loved. And she went, oh my God, you're a lunatic. And I just now discovered you're a lunatic. And you took away my night. Poor Linus. He so believes in this thing so badly.
I know. What is it? I mean, the Great Pumpkin's like the equivalent of Santa.
Santa Claus for Halloween.
Yeah.
Delivers goodies, presents to all the boys and girls who believe in him. And it's just World War I flying ace Snoopy that just pops out of the patch.
You know, coming back from battle, by the way.
Yeah, coming back from battle.
He took the old dog sled or doghouse.
Right. That's right.
Got
other
shot
than
down
that,
by
is
the
there
Red
any
Baron.
Other Halloween things that are around anymore? Like that's the only one, right? Like we have a series of ones at Christmas time that pop up on the TV all the time. Grinch, Rudolph, Frosty, Year Without a Santa Claus, bunch of them, right? There's a whole bunch of Rankin Bass claymation stuff that just pops up every Christmas, and they're on. Yay. But Halloween, what is there on Halloween? There's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown that's not on, and that's it. There's nothing else. I mean, there's other stuff like you can watch Hocus Pocus, but that's a movie. Like half-hour cartoons, or that's it.
Yeah, even looking it up, and there's, the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown.
That's pretty much it.
That's it.
Halloween. You know, because Christmas carols come early tomorrow. You know, that's how we roll now. We don't even give Thanksgiving a run for its money. Jordan Dahani on yesterday's action in the National Football League. It might be setting us up for weeks to come next as we continue on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
The spooky Halloween edition continues on the Wake Up Show, Wake Up Call. Who does this song again?
Rockwell.
Rockwell, that's right. Very scary video. These ones were very frightening. Jordan Dejani is joining us from CBS Sports. Thank you for the correction, by the way. I really appreciate it. You've been listening? Do you have opinion on the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, I turned it on right before I hopped on the phone with you guys. And I just heard my name. That was the only thing I heard.
Oh, okay, good. Because
no
we were,
problem.
We said, what happened to all these Halloween specials when we were kids? They're all, like, on streaming services now. Now, I got 400 Christmas ones, but I don't have any more Halloween ones. But speaking of Halloween, all right, I'm looking around the NFL. I was kind of just sort of looking at the big picture, Jordan, and I'm kind of figuring out, like, okay, some of the narratives, the league does this all the time. Some of these things we think about teams, we think are going to happen, and they don't happen, and some teams come out and they're surprising. The Atlanta Falcons, what in the world is working right for the Atlanta Falcons? A weak division and what else?
I think it's Arthur Smith. I think he's a very underrated head coach. And listen, I'm based out of Nashville, so I covered him when he was an offensive coordinator, and he was a guy that I was very high on, just in terms of how he operates and how he game plans offensively. It's interesting because it seems like this offense doesn't trust Marcus Mariota very much. He was 20 of 28 yesterday. It seems like he's not truly unlocking some of those wide receivers' potentials, such as Kyle Pitts and the rookie Drake London. But they're running the ball effectively, and their defense has been just a little bit better. No one's saying it's one of the best units in the NFL, but the Falcons are going to be competitive against anybody they're trying to play on any given Sunday. And it's wild that we've reached this point on October 31st where they're leading the NFC South.
Without question. Do you still think, though, this is one of those divisions where if the Bucs just get their act together, they'll take it? Or do we now have a dogfight to the finish?
I think we got a dogfight to the finish. I'm absolutely fascinated by this division because we just broke down the Falcons, but then you have Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Maybe he finds an extra level of juice after the divorce. Who knows? Then the New Orleans Saints are one of the most interesting teams to me. Coming into this week, they actually had the number 3 offense in the league, only behind the Kansas City Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. It seems like that defense maybe has gotten back on track. They shut out the Las Vegas Raiders yesterday. In fact, the Raiders didn't even get across the 50-yard line until the fourth quarter. That's how good that Saints defense was yesterday. And then the Carolina Panthers, it seems like they found some juice as well. Not that they're very live to acquire a postseason spot, but I'm imagining we're going to have a dogfight until the finish in the NFC South.
I like what you were talking about with the Raider game because a lot of conversation about Nathaniel Hackett in Denver. Is he up for this? Is he up for this? Where's the scrutiny on Josh McDaniels in Las Vegas? This is now his second go-around, and they're not playing up to a level of a playoff team last year.
Yeah, it's definitely. And, you know, you thought that this team was going to be able to get it together because they went out there and made several additions on both sides of the ball that we imagine would make immediate impacts. And that just has not happened. This team is not playing well. It seems like they're discombobulated on offense. And that stat about them crossing midfield is a perfect example of what's going wrong with this team. He's going to get, obviously, some critical remarks moving forward because people are keeping an eye on these coaches. And you know, you bring up Nathaniel Hackett, and it was interesting because their general manager, George Payton, said that what he's dealing with is almost unprecedented in terms of the injuries, in terms of the scrutiny, in terms of the primetime contest where a lot of people get to watch his failures as a first-year lead man, first person. So Nathaniel Hackett obviously is deserving of criticism, but to your point, Josh McDaniels is as well.
Minnesota, they play a lot of close games, but they win a lot of close games. Is this a different Minnesota team than we've seen that have been good but never good enough?
They certainly seem different to me. And, you know, coming into the show, you were talking about these narratives, things that we thought were going to happen that weren't going to happen, that don't happen. The Green Bay Packers being kings of the NFC North may be something that we can put to bed. The Minnesota Vikings do look a little bit different. And, you know, they have all the pieces on offense that are necessary to find success, and a new lead man in Kevin O'Connell, who I'm a big fan of, by the way. Been following him for a few years now, back to the Washington football days. But you look at the defense. I think that's really the X factor when it comes to this Vikings team. Overall, they're not statistically one of the best units in the NFL, but there's been several occasions during this early course of the regular season where they stood up in crunch time, right? They came up clutch with a fourth quarter turnover or a stop or whatever it may be. So the Vikings are sitting at 6-1. Maybe that feels a little bit fraudulent, but what's not fraudulent is that they're leaving the NFC North.
Jordan DeGianni joins us on Progressive Guest Line, CBS Sports. This is going to be an easy question, but I got to ask it anyway. Christian McCaffrey now integrated into the San Francisco offense. Where does that put the Niners on the larger picture of not only NFC but the NFL?
No, I'm actually glad you asked this because I think it's a loaded question. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey is one of the best backs in the NFL, one of the most versatile dual-threat dynamic weapons that this league has to offer, and adding that to a 49ers offense is obviously going to make them better as a team. At the same time, this was a team that came one quarter away from making the Super Bowl last year. So I'm wondering how much this addition of Christian McCaffrey really gets them over the hump.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking at. Because in my eyes, I don't know if that's true. I mean, Christian McCaffrey obviously has had some injury concerns over the past few years. Is that just magically going to go away? He had a great game where he threw a touchdown, caught a touchdown, rushed for a touchdown yesterday. But are we to expect that every single Sunday? The 49ers had no problem with any of the running backs they were using. I don't care if it was you or me. Kyle Shanahan was able to make us pick up yards. So the 49ers, in my mind, are the champions of the NFC West. But when it comes to getting to the big game, I'm not sure yet. The defense needs to be more consistent. The 49ers wanted to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo for a reason. So I'm interested to see if this Christian McCaffrey move is really, truly enough for this franchise to get over the hump.
This next unit's not off the radar. People do buzz about them, but not as much as their offense. How good is Buffalo's defense? And is that really a thing people need to be paying attention to, as well as what they can do offensively?
Yeah, I think they're statistically the number one defense in the NFL. And I think that's what makes the Buffalo Bills so dangerous, is not only how complete they are on both sides of the ball, but also how deep they are as well. And all the important positions, it seems like they have guys who are ready to step in and make an immediate impact. That's why the Bills are the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl. I mean, everybody in this league nowadays is about flashy offenses, but if you don't have that strong backbone of a defense to back it up, then your chances are not going to be good as some of those other teams, like the 49ers, who can make a run late in the year due to their defense. The Bills have what is needed, what is required for a legitimate Super Bowl champion. And, yes, their defense definitely deserves credit as well.
Let me ask you about Washington. Taylor Heineke, what is it about him that they didn't believe that made them go get Carson Wentz? Because it feels like every time he plays, they win enough. But what is it about him that made them not want to commit to him at all? Until now.
Yeah, it's a good question because, if you watched them last year, Taylor Heineke did get a shot to really be a starting quarterback. And there were some good moments, there were some bad moments, but it always felt like the quarterback play was just lacking a little bit, which led the Commanders to go out to the market. Now, I would have avoided Carson Wentz. I would have tried for somebody else.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because when Taylor Heineke comes off the bench, you know, when he's the backup making a start, right? You see some black magic at work. I mean, this guy is a fan favorite in D.C., and I think he's quickly becoming a fan favorite around the NFL as well. This kid is just a gamer. He's a winner. He has that clutch factor that some quarterbacks that are better than him do not possess. That's the guy that Taylor Heineke is. So, again, I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback. I don't even know. We could have a great conversation about him being a legitimate starter. But he's a guy that any of these 32 NFL teams would love to have as QB number two.
What is working in Seattle with Geno Smith? I didn't see a lot last year when he filled in for Russell Wilson, and now I'm seeing a first-place team.
I have no idea. This is the biggest surprise in the NFL. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I was with everybody thinking that the Seahawks were going to be one of the worst teams in the league this season, but all of a sudden, here we are out of week 8. Geno Smith is first in completion percentage, third in passer rating, leads the NFL in completion percentage over expectation. He had 10 passing touchdowns, traveling 15-plus yards downfield. That's tied with Josh Allen for most in the NFL. Nobody has more than 5, by the way. Geno Smith is playing great ball, and the only thing that I can really chalk it up to is that this is a guy who's always possessed some talent, but he's had some time to really sit back and learn a system. And now that he has the opportunity to thrive in said system, he's going to take advantage of it. He's taking advantage of the opportunity that Pete Carroll has given him. And it's crazy because it's paying dividends for this Seattle team, even with a defense that is statistically not one of the best in the NFL. This is the story in the league so far. It's pretty incredible, and I think Geno Smith is going to win Comeback Player of the Year.
All right, I want to ask you about this next quarterback, and I get his circumstances. He's only in year two. He's played with a number of different coaches. But why hasn't Trevor Lawrence been able to just kick it into that next gear, that next level? That is it on us for our expectations? Is this the normal progression? Is there something missing in his game?
Yeah, it's a great question, and this is something that I think we've been talking a lot about just over the past 24 hours with some of my coworkers. You know, Trevor Lawrence had a very bad game against the Broncos in London, a very bad game. The box score doesn't even tell the entire story. But I still want to chalk it up to a normal progression. I think we have to remember that Trevor Lawrence did not have your normal rookie season having to operate under Urban Meyer and really come into his own and be a leader probably before he was ready, before anybody was ready with the kind of environment that Urban Meyer was fostering in Jacksonville. Now this is almost kind of like his first true NFL season, right? He's got a Super Bowl winning head coach who knows how to game plan offensively, but at the same time, he's learning that new offensive system. And, you know, we've seen some good from Trevor Lawrence, but we've also seen probably mostly bad. So I still have faith in him. I'm still a fan of him. But, yes, I think he absolutely needs to show us that he's taking that step forward as we get past the halfway part of the regular season.
Jordan, great stuff. Thank you so much, and I appreciate your time on Halloween. Thank you so much this morning.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Jordan DeGianni joining us from CBS Sports to kind of go over some stuff from the National Football League. We're approaching heavy weather season, and it got me thinking, so your driving should be an enjoyable experience, right? You're in the car, you're listening to a good song, you're listening to us, for example. Maybe do good, the bad, and the dumb, but you know what's the worst situation? You're having that good moment, and you're listening in, and everything's good, and then all of a sudden, because you got squeaky wipers, it's embarrassing, it's dangerous, and that's when you know you need new wipers. Don't let squeaky wipers ruin your great moments here, clearly, by Michelin wipers. Michelin is always reminding drivers how important it is to regularly check their wipers for safety on the road. They've even made it an official holiday, and it is coming up November 16th, International Check Your Wipers Day. So don't forget, check your wipers. It's simple to update your wipers to Michelin. Pick them up at Walmart today. All right, come back. Some final thoughts on week number 8 of the NFL as we continue with Wake Up Call.
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its
toll. Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. Jordan made a very good point about Trevor Lawrence, and I know we all kind of know that, right?
Yeah.
You know, Urban Meyer was not the right coach for a rookie quarterback coming into this league because Urban Meyer had no idea what the NFL was like. So he wasn't given a person as his head coach. And then Urban brings his own people in, and it's just a mess. And so he's trying to learn the NFL with a guy that's also trying to learn the NFL. So that's a given. And I will say, I agree with him. There's something about Trevor Lawrence that I want him to be successful in this league. I think he's a talented player. He's a good quarterback. He's got the skills. But this league will eat you up and spit you out if you're not careful. And you can be lost. You can have all the talent in the world. I look at a guy like Jeff George. Remember when Jeff George was in the league when we were younger and he had a rocket arm? He not only had a rocket arm, he probably had the best arm of anybody we had ever seen play the game. He could zip the ball 30 yards in like a gun. But, you know, you get in a fight with your coach and you're bouncing from team to team. You never quite find your groove. I don't want that to happen to Trevor Lawrence, but I agree with him. I think this is probably his real rookie season. I mean, we can't begin to discuss how horrible that Jacksonville
year. But we also forget about it all the time.
All the time. You think like it's year two. Yeah, it's year two. If you were given a coach that was, I've got this. I know how to do this. I know how to grow you from rookie to this league, but Urban Meyer was crazy and didn't adapt to the NFL game. So it sounds like we're making excuses for a guy that hasn't upped his level of play, but it is a fact.
But yeah, there's something to it though.
Right, you know, because Mac Jones went to play for Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels last year.
Yeah, look how great he was.
And look at what they were able to do. They got him in the Pro Bowl, for crying out loud. Ugh. You know, and again, that. And look, I wonder about Jets fans. I'd love, like Jake, I'd love to ask him about this. When they watched Zach Wilson play so poorly, do they go, okay, we're back to normal? Or do they go, all right, that's not acceptable anymore because you played well enough in the four-game win streak? Or do they go, oh, here we go again. Yeah, this is pretty much what I thought. Because there's a different idea behind these young quarterbacks, is that when they play well, is that borrowed time, or did they cross over to playing well in this league now to be worthy of where they were drafted? Because not all of them are. And I think for Trevor Lawrence, my biggest thing on him is not just, look, again, he was with the wrong coach. Now he's with a better coach. But I can't find the game, because they don't win a lot. I can't find the game where he took a situation and carried the team to the finish line. Like, he's like, don't worry, I got this. I will get you home. Defense isn't playing that good. It's okay. I'll score more points. You know, we're running game doesn't work. That's okay. I'll find you guys down the field. We're getting beat at the line of scrimmage. That's okay. I'll figure it out. Like, I can't. He has yet to have that game. And maybe I'm being too hard on him, because again, we're only talking about a guy that's been in the league a year and a half, and almost a full year he was under a really crappy coach. So maybe I'm being too hard on him, and maybe I should give him some more time. Lord knows we've given plenty of quarterback. Like, you were telling me about Kenny Pickett. Yeah, you're right. 2 touchdowns and like 8 interceptions. I shouldn't be like thinking that all is lost with Kenny Pickett. Maybe I shouldn't be thinking that, you know, Trevor Lawrence is just going to hover around good enough, but not really great. Like, well enough to be in this league, but you ain't talking Super Bowl anytime soon. And that's where I don't want him to be. And this has nothing to do with rooting for or against Jacksonville. I just root for good players, and he should be a good player in this league. All right, it's Wake Up Call as we continue on Sports Map Radio.